Now today, friends, we come to one of the very practical epistles. Very candidly, I think maybe that's a false division to say Romans is a doctrinal epistle and Corinthians is a practical epistle. I don't think that that kind of a division will hold all the time because of the fact that the epistle to the Romans, I trust many of you found it practical. And there's a great deal of doctrine in this epistle to the Corinthians. And this is another great epistle and one that is, I'm afraid, neglected a great deal today. Now, this epistle here is an epistle we should know something about the place to which it was addressed and the circumstances that it was written in under. The city was Corinth. Corinth, as I have put in my notes that many of you have, and I'm reading now, carnal Corinth was the sin center of the Roman Empire in Paul's day. It was labeled Vanity Fair. Its location was about 40 miles west of Athens on a narrow isthmus between Peloponnesus and the mainland. It was a great commercial center of the Roman Empire with three harbors, of which two were important. Lucium, about 1.5 miles to the west, and Cenchrea, about 8.5 miles to the east. It was on this isthmus, and of course today a canal has been put through there, and Corinth is no longer an important city. And in fact, it's been lost for years. But I'd like to add to that introduction today some more information. In Paul's day, there were about 400,000 inhabitants there. When Greece was independent, it was ahead of the Achaean League. And in 146 B.C., the Roman general Mummius, he took this city, destroyed the city, and for a century it lay desolate. And then 100 years later, in 46 B.C., the Emperor Julius Caesar rebuilt it, and its former splendor returned. It was situated on this well-known isthmus that we mentioned, and the commerce of the world actually flowed through the two harbors here at the city of Corinth. The population consisted of Greeks, Jews, Italians, and a mixed multitude, sailors, merchants, adventurers, and refugees from all quarters of the Roman Empire filled the streets. Here was held a perpetual vanity fair. The vices of the East and the West met and clasped hands in the work of human degradation. Religion itself was put to ignoble uses. The Greek goddess Aphrodite had here a magnificent temple in which 1,000 priestesses ministered to a base worship. And by the way, friends, these 1,000 so-called priestesses actually were nothing in the world but prostitutes, and sex was a religion there. Corinth, very frankly, could teach this generation something about sex, but this generation, I think, knows already enough about it, and we're overwhelmed with it ad nauseum today. Now, there's something else that we should note here. Not only was religion debased, but Greek philosophy was in its decay. And there were just endless discussions. And you notice when Paul arrived there, the thing he said, I determined not to know anything among you but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. This was a city given over to nothing in the world but the pleasure and debauchery and drunkenness. In fact, they coined a word in the Roman Empire, and the word was to Corinthianize. And when you would Corinthianize, that means that you went the very limit. Now, Paul came here on his second missionary journey. He came here on his third missionary journey. In fact, it was the terminus. He spent a great deal of time in Corinth. The first time, 18 months there. And you will remember he met Aquila and Priscilla here. They had been driven out of Rome, a Claudian edict, that is, the Emperor Claudius. And Suetonius, the Roman writer, tells us that the reason they had to leave was because of the disturbances over Christianity in Rome. Or it was a wave of anti-Semitism. Now, Paul came to Corinth. He preached in the synagogue. And as usual, there was generally a riot. Paul always had a riot, revolution, and a revival everywhere he went. And certainly Corinth was no exception. And we are told that he spent a great deal of time here. But on his third missionary journey, he got bogged down in Ephesus, and it was a good place to bog down because he did his outstanding work in Ephesus as a missionary. Probably that area more thoroughly evangelized than any other. But it caused the Corinthians to become disturbed, and they were baby Christians, and they were urging him to come. So he wrote a letter to correct some of the errors that had come into that church. And they had certain questions that they had wanted to know about, political questions, religious questions, domestic questions, questions about heathenism and morality, and all of those. And so Paul wrote a letter, and that letter apparently we do not have today. And then there were more reports brought to him, and they became more insistent. Paul sat down and wrote. What we have today is 1 Corinthians, the one we're going to look at. And then we find that Paul then later on wrote the second one. Now we have in this first epistle, and this is very important for us to note, we have the supremacy of Christ, the lordship of Jesus. Oh, that's important because that's a solution to the problems. And you have here that he is the solution to correct the moral, social, and ecclesiastical disorders. And you have here also the true doctrine of the resurrection. That makes this epistle tremendously significant. And that's the epistle that we're going to enter now. I'd like to give you the division that I have made of it. And if I did it over again, I would make another division, or at least I would break it up just a little. What we should have here really is the three major divisions. You have the salutation and thanksgiving in the first 9 verses. Then you have concerning conditions in the Corinthian church. And in that section, Paul deals with carnalities. And then we find that when you get to chapter 12, Paul talks about spiritualities. And these spiritualities are far more important than the carnalities. But the very interesting thing is, and I think probably we ought to make that statement here, is this, that 1900 years ago, the church in Corinth was beset with problems. They lost sight of the main objective, and they had gotten away from the person of Christ, and they were overwhelmed by these problems. Now today, the contemporary church is likewise beset with problems, and it's almost shocking to discover that the problems of the church are the same as they were at Corinth 1900 years ago. And I believe that the real problem today is that we've lost sight of the centrality of Christ crucified. We've lost sight of the lordship of Jesus Christ. That was the problem here, and we're going to see it as we get into this epistle, and probably we ought to get into the epistle.